Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Tuesday, May 9th, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Andy, Mike, and Jason back with you. Excited to be with you. Lots going on. Got a great show for you today. How you doing, Mr. Moore?
I'm doing great. My brain is inside of Google Sheets right now. So, like, if you ask me a question, you might get some formula back.
Okay. All right.
Beep, I think, bop, boop,
beep, bop, boop.
That's what a formula sounds
that
like.
That is a direct recording.
Yeah, I mean, Jason is speaking of, we're in the mire, so to speak. We're in the midst of our ultimate draft kit player-by-player projections and rankings. Had a little rankings retreat myself this past weekend. Sat on a porch. Up north.
I was really jealous. See, I go into like a stat cave, and you're out in the woods having a nice time with great weather, statting all day. Why didn't I do that?
I've been wanting to do that for years. We finally did it, and it was wonderful.
Well, it wasn't we. Yeah. It was you.
Yeah.
Pretty selfish.
Me and my spreadsheets. Mike, how are you doing today?
I am fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I did make it into the office yesterday. We're recording this early on Tuesday and then straight to you. But I thought I'd see you both yesterday, but you were on what Al Borland had dubbed Staten Island.
Yes.
Ooh, very nice.
Yes, I was actually in New York.
Your rankings come easier when you are...
I got a stat on Staten, baby.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work to get out there.
But it makes them accurate.
So our ultimate draft kit... It drops. Brooks, you got the countdown? Do you know the amount of days? I mean, I feel like you should.
Please hold.
Is it like 23 days or something like that?
Pretty close to that, yeah.
Pretty
under 24.
31.
Under 24.
Subtract 9.
June 1st, it comes out. And you can check that out at ultimatedraftkit.com. Got a couple exciting things going on today. I've been holding this drink as though I'm going to drink it for way too long. Like, I got pre-sip on my mug, and then I realize I got a lot to say.
Now you're committed to holding it.
And I have not. I'm not lowering this till I take a sip.
You have to. Oh, how was that sip?
It was worth the wait. What do we got going on? We got a giveaway. Very exciting. Picked up some sweet items to hand out to the Foot Clan. A Justin Jefferson signed jersey is up for grabs right now.
Well, how would I win that?
Okay, Clevis. FootClanGiveaway.
I love Justin.
FootClanGiveaway.com. That was a different voice of public opinion, by the way.
I'm not the public opinion. I just like Justin Jefferson.
Honestly, I'm really surprised we're giving away a Justin Jefferson signed jersey.
You didn't even know this, did you?
I saw it this morning, but I didn't know it yesterday. A little inside information. We usually keep the best ones for ourselves. It sounds like a joke, but it's not a joke. Like, we, you know, it's like, oh,
we put them
this
up on the wall.
One is great. We want to keep this for the wall. We're giving away a Justin Jefferson signed jersey. Heck yeah.
Yeah. It's FootClanGiveaway.com. Completely free to enter. Just go to the website, FootClanGiveaway.com. Support the show. We'll give you a free Justin Jefferson signed jersey. We'll give that away here in a little bit. And of course, we've talked a lot about the new Dynasty podcast. It's once a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Matthew Betts, Kyle Borgannoni, and then generally Mike, Jason, some combination. It's been great so far.
It's a smashing success.
But we do not ignore Dynasty here on the Fantasy Footballers either.
Welcome to Dynasty Week.
Yeah, baby.
That's a good drop.
It's that time of year. So today's show, Thursday's show, we'll have a special Dynasty focus. We're going to be talking about some pretty good stuff on the next couple of episodes. I know that a lot of fantasy players out there, rookie draft time, Dynasty startup drafts, a lot of questions. We just added the two quarterback rankings to the Ultimate Draft Kit for the first time ever as well. I know that that's some feedback I've gotten from a lot of Dynasty players is that...
They want three quarterback now?
No, not three.
It's never enough for you people.
How many quarterbacks do you need? No, it's just that there's a lot of new Dynasty leagues are in the two quarterback Superflex category.
Sure.
So we don't want to ignore that, and so we got the rankings up there. But no, this week's going to be Dynasty focused. Our quick question of the day and our segment on today's show and the mailbag, all with a Dynasty spin. And I'm looking forward to discussing some of these players. You know, it's a lot more subjective in the Dynasty realm. There's a lot more, you're not just looking at 1 year prognostication, which is easier to do. You know, you can kind of understand what the coaching situation is like for a team, what their schedule looks like, you know, what the depth chart looks like for 1 year. That's very easy. But when you look over the long period of time, you know, you get coaching changes that maybe you don't expect, and that longevity projection is more difficult.
Sure. And this year, especially in the rookie drafts, you know, usually there's like a pretty standard consensus, at least ADP, of through the first round or so, you know which guys are going to go around where. But this year, I feel like once you get through in a single quarterback through pick 106, maybe 107, if you believe that Richardson is the 107, which he is very frequently. After that, it's the wild, wild west. I've seen players drafted at the 108, 109, who in a different league don't go till like the middle of the second round. And it's just the values, it's pure chaos right now in the rookie streets.
Do you feel like, we've actually settled in on our wrong consensus for this year?
Absolutely. Yeah, for the first six picks.
For the first six, seven picks. That brings us to our quick question, the rookie drafts. What is a tough Dynasty rookie draft decision you've had to make in your leagues?
I mean, mine is clear because I have gone back and forth on the rankings in the Ultimate Draft Kit. I've gone back and forth in my mind. I've gone back and forth in my heart. And when I'm on the clock, I don't want to be in this position where I have to choose between Devon Achane and Zach Charbonnet. I can't figure out who is better because my pre-draft process, I loved Charbonnet. And even though I liked Achane, I was pretty much out on him because he's sub 190 pounds. We know historically that doesn't work. Then Charbonnet gets second round draft capital. And I love him, and he goes to a run-first team. That all seems great, but he's obviously the backup. Kenneth Walker is there, and he's the veteran hand. He's young. So from a Dynasty perspective, it's like, does that just ruin Charbonnet? I don't think it does. And then the landing spot for Achane, still a day two pick. It was round three. And he goes to the Dolphins for the most perfect scheme fit imaginable. I have not completed every team. I'm about two-thirds the way through the teams. But I have done, for this year's stat purposes, I have done both of these teams, Seattle and Miami. And this season, I have Achane higher and having a pretty good season. So right this second, I think I lean Achane. Don't ask me five minutes from now.
Yeah, you said you've been confused in your heart, your head. Maybe this is a pick you make with your bowels.
Nice. At least I'll make it while on the toilet.
Well, that the odds are high of that. I was going to bring up what you kind of alluded to at the end, which was that this decision will not get figured out in 1 year either. Like, you may have a leader in the clubhouse, because I'd be with you that I think A-Chain has a more total fantasy points year one, and yet you could still be wrong on that pick. Mm-hmm. That'll be the interesting thing. My answer here is none. There have been no difficult picks for me.
Andy doesn't even know who the rookies are.
I got no picks, suckas. Right, Brooks?
Oh, yeah.
No pick crew.
Andy and Brooks run their dynasty team very much like the Los Angeles Rams of late. They're just like, no, I only want veterans. No rookies allowed.
I could have thrown an answer in here, but I felt like it might be more viable to talk about the approach I've had for the past couple of years, which is, look, I'm a guy who also has – I got Greg Dulcich last year. I didn't have a pick in the rookie draft. And so there's a time right now to go out and grab some of these. If you're in only a 2 or 3 round rookie draft, go grab a few of these players. Charlie Jones, slot receiver in Cincinnati. There are, Evan Holt. Take a couple
Michael
shots.
Michael Wilson, 3rd round draft pick for the Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals. Is it a good pick? Probably not. But you have to take the chance that maybe they know what they're doing.
I mean, Tyreek Hill was a player that was picked up off of waivers when he first came out into the league. So have I had to have a difficult draft decision? No, but I have made decisions on, dropping some low ceiling bottom dwellers on my 18-man bench in our dynasty league and saying, I'm just going to throw some of these names in there. And honestly, I think tight end is one of those places that it's worth doing that with as well. Look at all the tight ends that were drafted this year that were names that maybe, Darrell Washington got a lot of notoriety, but it wasn't Musgrave. It wasn't Schoonmaker. And so, Schoonman, if you put some of those names on the bench, you could be surprised.
Yeah. For when the rookie draft comes around for our main dynasty league, for Andy, what that means is that he now has 3 more draft picks to trade 3 years from now.
Right now.
Now he could trade 2026.
Honestly, I've already made one offer with my 2026.
Exactly. They'll be be gone in a month. Get him while he's got him.
Mike, who's the more difficult decision for you right now in dynasty leagues?
So I think in a rookie drafts that Dalton Kincaid, Buffalo tight end, is extremely difficult to rank because drafting these tight ends is a waste of your pick. They don't hit. I mean, Jason has laid this out recently how far back did you go, Jay? Like 10 years?
I went a decade.
And the answer is, how many are you actually happy you drafted? And it's like, well, Mark Andrews and
Evan Engram.
But even Evan Engram was like, he had a great rookie year. And then it was just pain. Next year, pain. Next year, it was just over and over of like, I know he could do it. And if the Evan Engram truthers out there, if you held on, we're sort of rewarded now with his career looking like it's coming back in Jacksonville. But it was, you thought you had a tight end of the future, and you kept playing him over and over for years, and you were getting little to no production from Evan Engram. So it's been very difficult. But Dalton Kincaid, the Buffalo Bills trade up over a team that looked like they were slotted for a tight end. We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys because they really needed one. They jump them in the draft. They go get Dalton Kincaid, the first tight end off the draft board. And he is an offensive weapon. This is a move tight end. This isn't a pick for we're bolstering our offensive line.
Is your slot wide receiver.
You're getting a playmaker who, 2 years ago in Utah, 36 for 5'10 and 8. Okay, that's actually not that bad for a tight end. Follows that up 70 for 890 yards and 8 touchdowns. I mean, just ludicrous usage, too. That was a dominator rating of 29% this past year. That's fantastic for a tight end. And the Buffalo Bills didn't do really anything else for their pass catchers.
No, they lost Isaiah McKenzie.
They got rid of McKenzie. Like, Khalil Shakir should be the slot wide receiver. But I think there is a strong chance that sooner than later, Dalton Kincaid is actually the number two option on this team. Odds are totally, totally against it. But if that hit, if that actually came through, I mean, that'll be probably the best pick aside from Bijan Robinson if Dalton Kincaid turns into the player that the Buffalo Bills think he can be.
Yeah, it is a really, really difficult selection. Right now, if you're on Twitter, if you follow draft people or fantasy people on Twitter, it is universally pro Dalton Kincaid. Everyone loves him. Everyone is like, he's the slot guy.
He's already a top 12 tight end in best ball.
It's really wild. And I feel because of that, not from a contrarian standpoint, but just like a
draft cost.
Just a trying to help people not go crazy. What are you doing? It's like, I am so anti Dalton Kincaid. Not because I don't like him. He's very talented. Not because it's not a good situation. It could be great. But just because it's not going to work. Well, like, it's not going to work out because he's a tight end and no tight ends are good.
But Jason.
But he's.
But
let me
it might work this time.
Where does Jordan Addison go if he was the pick to Buffalo?
Oh, super high.
Two?
Oh, as far as like
rookie
drafts?
I mean, maybe Jahmyr. You would have the Jahmyr Gibbs argument. But you would. If Addison had fallen to Buffalo. Then, yeah, people would make the Jackson Smith and Jigba or Jordan Addison.
And I'm not arguing anything against you. I think you're right. But what makes it so difficult is that if, you know, because everything coming out of Buffalo, too, the discussions of the beat reporters there, it's like there's a really good chance Dalton Kincaid is a slot wide receiver that they drafted.
Yes.
I mean, they paid Dawson Knox a bunch of money. He's going to be there for a long time.
He's a blocker.
And he's a good blocker. And so... It's like if that's what your brain does.
But he's not good enough to be a slot wide receiver rookie year. I mean, long term, you know, this could still be a good. I'm just saying Jordan
question.
Addison versus Dalton Kincaid. Jordan Addison is a bomb wide receiver. He is set up ready as a route runner.
I think Dalton Kincaid is as good as he could have been at that.
I think he's as good as he could be as a tight end, yeah.
As a big slot receiver.
Yeah, we will see.
I mean,
wild. And it's like. They've tried to say some nice things about Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis, that ain't it, man. He's not the number. He cannot be the number two for this offense, and them, you know, complete their plans of winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I think it's a bit of a trap, but the trap is so tempting to fall into
because
it's
a golden bear trap.
There's ice cream inside of it. Yes. There's candy. Like, I want to go in. I don't care if I'm trapped in there. There's candy inside.
I would say it's more along the lines of, like, it's a winning lottery ticket. It's $1 million in
yes.
there.
It's a scratchers like, at the bottom yeah. of the...
You will probably lose your leg, but if you don't, it's $1 million.
Well, that's why he's going so high in best ball.
Yeah, if it hits, if he's a Jimmy Graham, then right. like Mike said, he's probably the best pick in the at the back of the first round. He won't be.
Probably.
That's why
there's a 10% chance that it's right. Like mathematically, historically, that's kind of the hit rate. 10% chance that he will be a valuable.
Can
pick.
We get him a couple more points because he's in Buffalo with Josh Allen? Can we bump
12%?
That to 12?
Yeah, let's go 12%.
Have you run the numbers on tight ends that go to a top five quarterback that caught more than 800 yards? In their season, and then we're drafted in the first round. Have you run the hit rate on those?
Pretty small sample size.
Pretty small. That's the hardest part about those. And look, if from a bigger picture, it's a bad bet. It's tough. That's a really tough one. So
what makes?
Well, I don't have rookie picks. I gotta make that decision.
What makes it easier? Because prior to the NFL draft, I was Mr. You don't draft a tight end in round one of your rookie drafts. It's just a waste of pick. You should be hitting at like 40%. You know, near the end of round one, and if you're taking a 10 or 12% bet, that's just a bad bet. But like Mike said, after you're the 108, the 108 to the 208 is like, I don't know, they're all 12% bets.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. Let's get into some news.
News and notes from around the league.
Well, before this first story, I just need to check in with Brooksy. Do you know how many days until the ultimate draft kit yet?
23.
All right.
Days.
Yeah.
23 days. I kind of thought it was a soft buy through earlier because in our Slack channel yesterday, you had posted 24 days.
Yeah. Just
until the UDK. And so then today, I was like, he can do.
Don't make Brooks do that
math. He can do the math.
I should have been able to just with the weird recording time and everything.
Okay.
Just, Didn't want to.
You weren't sure where we are.
Didn't want to miss. Yeah, exactly. Didn't. Yeah.
What's the latest on Isaiah Pacheco? Because we got some Matthew Betts injury notes. He had a couple of off-season surgeries.
Yeah, it seems that he did. He broke a bone in his thumb in the AFC title game. He played through that. He's already had surgery for that. He also played through a torn labrum in the shoulder for a lot of the season. He had that surgery 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. So, I mean, he should be good to go, but this is something that you need to at least track through the offseason.
It's pretty important to me that Mike is somewhat into Clyde at some point in this offseason.
Oh, that's impossible with that. The pain that Clyde Edwards-Helaire brings me every time. He's still on my roster,
every time
guys.
You look at your dynasty
roster.
He's
still on my roster. I log in and I go, oh, that's not Jonathan Taylor.
There's mold in the walls of my dynasty team.
Like I'm still over. My roster is still two players over. So I can't do anything. I'm locked on sleeper. I can't make waiver ads.
Are you considering?
And I'm like, who should I drop? Well, there's Clyde.
Oh, man.
It's like,
would it feel good?
Oh, he would feel great. Until
everyone
he gets picked up.
Bids on him.
I feel like that's a funny viral video, is that, like, if you have a guy that you really want to rage drop, you put go get in the bubble bath, get the glass of wine, and get real comfortable.
Have some good adult contemporary on the radio.
Yeah, and then you hit that button. Feels pretty good.
Look, it's going to happen at some point.
you know that day's coming.
It is inevitable, very much like Thanos. But I can't do it yet.
No. He's going to sign as a backup somewhere next year, where it's like, oh,
he's going to turn it around.
No way.
He's
going to
turn
way.
It around. Enough to where you can't drop him ever.
Pacheco, for what it's worth, the team kind of said, with their actions, I think, their expectation for Pacheco is to be heavily involved, and that they're not concerned about it because they didn't really add anybody. They re-signed McKinnon, but that was expected. All right.
Oh, yeah. Give it to me.
ESPN's John Keim reports that second-year quarterback Sam
Howell
has shown enough to convince the Commanders he's their starter.
Showed him some fur.
So dumb.
Consider me suspicious of the Commanders knowing what a starting quarterback is. Because there's been no team more unsure of their starting quarterback in the last 5-6 years than the Commanders. And so I told these guys when I was going through my Commanders statistics, I split Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett. So could he emerge? Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's, you might as well just say, ChatGPT, write me up the optimistic case for Taylor Heinicke, but substitute Sam Howell's name into it for this upcoming season, and it would read the same. So I'm not saying Sam Howell can't do it. I'm saying that they've had 12 quarterbacks in 5 years or whatever it is. So I'm playing the bet that you're playing against the Eagles and the Cowboys and a good Giants team in your division, so you're probably not going to win all of your football games. And it seems like when the going gets tough in Washington, one of the first things they do is change quarterbacks. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right. I really like Sam Howell as a prospect, but the correct bet to make is certainly against him. Very few middling young quarterbacks turn into something good. But for fantasy purposes, I agree with you. I split with Jacoby Brissett. I only gave Sam Howell 14 games. That being said, he'll be the starter, you know, week one. That's what it seems like coming out from Washington. And that's what matters for drafting in fantasy. And if you're in a super flex league, two quarterback, I think grabbing Sam Howell as your quarterback three is a great decision because he is a mobile quarterback. He's not athletically gifted, you know, to the degree of these great dual threats we have now in the NFL. But he ran for over like 850 yards his final year in college, and
with the pack.
So he, I like it.
This is brutal.
Yes. So he will add enough on the ground to, I think, have fantasy relevance. In fact, at his one single start, the end of last year, think he was a top 10 quarterback, and he didn't have great passing numbers.
I think he ran for a touchdown.
Yeah, he had a rushing touchdown, five rushing attempts. If you get five rushing attempts a game, you're going to be okay in fantasy.
What is the if you were to adjust your howling for kind of like the season-long picture of Sam Howell, what would that potentially sound like?
For a full season?
Full season.
So he plays all 17?
No, I just mean you said super flex. That means you're not thinking about him in redraft. So what's the proper Hal? I'm just saying.
It's quarterback 22.
Okay. Okay.
All right. I accept.
It's probably about right. Mike, you got any other zingers in the Wolf realm?
I'm going to hit the shop. I'll have a few for you in a couple moments.
Anything to add there, Mike, or do you want to talk about Corey Davis being on the New York Football Jets?
No, the Sam Howell big question for me is more Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. And I love Dotson this year. Andy's breathing heavy. I think he's also feeling the Dotson this year. And
I love the Dotson last year. We just didn't get enough Dotson.
Right. But that's what do you do? We didn't get enough Dotson.
Dotson. We've got Dotson.
We didn't get enough of him last year. And now he has Sam Howell / Jacoby Brissett. Well, I mean, I guess Jacoby got it done for Amari Cooper last year. Let's get Jacoby in there.
Corey Davis will be on the team, which is one of the highest endorsements you can receive as a player.
He should be on the team. Corey Davis has played very well for the Jets.
And they don't have a big wide receiver. You know, they don't grow on trees. So having one, a depth piece with injuries, with underperforming, you know, four wide receivers, Corey Davis is a role to play.
Yeah, yes. He's actually really...
He helps Aaron Rodgers. I mean,
I think Corey Davis is a very good wide receiver. He's just considered a bust because he was a top 10 pick, right, in the NFL draft?
That's a funny thing.
Five?
If he was a third-round pick.
Yeah, if he was a third-round pick, you'd go, man, this guy's really good. But
he's done a lot in his years.
Yeah, he's a good wide receiver. I'll be interested to see the split between him and Lazard because they are both the bigger wide receiver types, and you know Aaron Rodgers usually gets his guy that he likes, and so I wonder if that will come at the expense of Corey Davis or not. But this is a pretty good wide receiver room that the Jets have assembled.
Yeah, they were a very interesting team to break down target-wise and kind of philosophy-wise in terms of the running game. Dan Arnold agreed to a one-year deal with the Eagles.
What?
The postman is back.
Yeah. I can see Al over there searching for the... was there dust on that drop?
Yeah, there was. I cleaned it off.
You cleaned it off? Yeah, I mean... Okay, the Eagles have a different backup, so if Dallas Goedert goes down again, Dan Arnold could become Jack Stoll plus. And then I think that's it. I think that's all we're going to do here. Let's take a quick break and come back with Old, Bland, and Undervalued.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
All right, one of the things that I found very informative going through all these teams this past weekend was the amount of players that I think fit into a category of fatigued for the fantasy world. You know, they've been around the block, Maybe their ceiling isn't what it once was. And so players, I think, are going to be ignored in that category that are going to have valuable roles. So I want to talk about some of those guys right now.
Old, bland, and undervalued.
When did that drop? When did you do that one?
I don't know. It caught me off guard,
all
too.
All around the mulberry bush. All right, players that are not old busted for fantasy football but probably are in people's minds. Give me a name. Somebody that you think will be ignored or undervalued.
I'm interested to hear your case here on yours, Mike, because this is a really good name, because I am fatigued. I am worried. So tell me why maybe we shouldn't be.
So it is Mike Evans.
I've heard of him.
Of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, wide receiver who has never had fewer than 1,000 yards every single year of his career.
Fun stat, when I did the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, okay, I broke down the target market share, the percent I thought that he would receive of the team on the targets, his yards per reception, all that stuff. When I hit enter on my final thing on the yardage, I was not trying to do this. He ended with 1,001 receiving yards to keep the streak alive.
So last year it was 1,100 yards in 15 games. That was...
No, that was one game. 1,100 yards in one game.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
It was a little bit juiced by a 200-yard performance of the final year, or the final game of the season for him. But even before that happened, he was still on a 17-game pace of 1,100 yards, which when you throw that out, you say, hey, you know, we finished 1,100. That sounds fantastic. Like, that sounds like a really strong season. And then you realize that's 65 yards a game, and that's what Mike Evans was doing. He was putting up 5 for 65. He was not scoring touchdowns, so that is a little bit of a concern. But the fact is, he was still pacing for 1,100 yards. The quarterback situation, the offensive situation, is completely changing around him. That is true, and it is a little bit scary. But Mike Evans is still a good player. For someone to go out, and he's almost 30 years old, and have a 200-yard, 3-touchdown game. There are very few wide receivers in the NFL that can actually do that for one game. Mike Evans is not what he was, you know, 5 years ago. He will not be what he was for your fantasy team this year with that. But he's going to be just, I think, left for dust. People are not going to be interested in Mike Evans, and he's someone who can still give you some burst games and give you some consistent production along the way, and he's going to be he will not be regular Mike Evans draft price this year.
You know, he certainly won't. I mean, I worry, because he'll play at 30 years old this year, which I don't think is too old for him. He, you know, like you said, that final game, you saw that he's still got juice, but the situation around him at age 30, with Kyle Trask / Baker Mayfield, final year of the contract, let's say he has a real dud season, does he have at age 31 teams clamoring to give him a heavy role in their offense? I'm sure he'll get another contract, but a lot of times we see those plus 30-year-old once great wide receivers switch teams a la, you know, A.J. Green, and just pretty much be irrelevant. So I am a little worried that how much I would pay to acquire Mike Evans.
I do think that the situation could have been worse at quarterback, because I think Baker's the guy. If you listen to the comments from Bruce Arians, I don't know if you saw them recently, but I mean, he says he had Baker Mayfield ahead of Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis in this draft.
Well, Bruce Arians also hates rookies.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that he said out of those four, he has Baker ranked higher. He said that was his honest opinion.
What did he say about Mr. Trask?
I didn't see any comments on Trask.
Darn it.
But like a lot, I know some people are projecting those guys to split this year because they're kind of hedging. I think it'll be Baker, and I think Baker is more in the realm of what you got from, you know, look, Jameis wasn't a good quarterback, but Jameis provided value. And I don't think that Baker is Jameis, but Baker is also not only a dink and dunk quarterback that's not going to challenge down the field. And look, if you throw the ball up to a guy that big, you're going to have an opportunity for touchdowns, which that variability for Mike Evans has always been there. If it's a 7, 8, 9 touchdown year, you're going to be really happy with the draft pick. You're probably getting 70 receptions and you're probably getting 1,000 yards. So it's an interesting name because I do think, you know, we've been here before with Mike Evans where he's just kind of, everyone's used to Mike Evans. There's lots of reasons to not take him this year, which maybe people are looking for. So I get it.
And so in your dynasty leagues, what are you, how are you pricing Mike Evans as either I'm going to trade him away or I'm going to trade for Mike Evans?
I don't know that I can receive enough back for Mike. Like, I don't know that I'm going to get a first round
pick. I'm in
this
boat.
For someone
great.
Because
you have Mike now, okay.
Yeah, and, I have Mike Evans.
Yeah, so I feel like the right approach, unless you can get, you know, what projects to be a high-end first-round pick, which I would take for Mike Evans.
I think anybody would.
Yeah, and I don't think you're going to get that, in which case your best bet is to just ride him into the sunset. You know, sometimes that is the best thing with these really good aged veterans. You know, it's like for years and years and years, it was like, oh, do I trade Larry Fitzgerald? Do I, you know, he's 30, he's 31. No, just keep getting fantasy points every year from him. And eventually he will retire, or has he even retired? He will stop playing football. And I think that's my approach with Mike Evans.
Yeah, you will look in your hands. One day the bag will be there and you'll say, well, that's all right. And then you'll just have a ceremony where you go in the backyard and you're like, thank you. Thank you.
I've definitely tested the market, and I haven't received responses proportional to what the Mike Evans name has meant in the past.
Oh, I know, because I tried to trade him last year. I mean, eventually I successfully did, but people were not respecting the Mike Evans, and they would have won a championship if they had just...
Nope. No, I respected it. Yeah, I had him on my team.
Oh, yeah. Well...
Yeah, I lost in the semis, Mike.
We did. Champ, champ, champ over
champ,
here.
Champ, 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 Mike Evans. I've got another 30-year-old.
If people trusted me, they would have won a championship.
Hey.
I trusted you.
203. I didn't say it was going to be great before then. I just said championship game.
You said, do I get a championship out of Mike's statement?
No. No, you do not. My pick for old, bland, and undervalued, not really bland by any means.
Not
this
really
is an exciting,
old.
Well, he's 29.
Not really undervalued.
He's 29. He's known as 2 years older than your old pick.
He's still a first-round pick in startup drafts.
But,
no, my pick is not selected for old. It's selected for bland.
Oh, okay. I didn't know we were I selected mine for old. 29-year-old Tyreek Hill to me. The reason that I'm bringing him up is because when you hit this age, sometimes people get scared. When you see the reports, and I know this in our league, when the reports came out about him wanting to retire after this contract, I got an offer. And so it's like I would go out and trade for Tyreek Hill if I can acquire him, because my belief of Tyreek Hill is that you're going to get three more full seasons. That's what his contract actually is. And all three of those, I believe, are going to be elite. Going to be absolutely phenomenal. And sometimes you know, these crazy speed guys in the NFL, the ones that are just like wildly different than others, we've seen it with some, you know, Hall of Fame cornerbacks. They just don't lose their speed. You know, DeSean Jackson, like, you just stay fast. And if that's your weapon, I don't think he's going to play phenomenally for 3 years, be great for fantasy for 3 years, and then move on. And that's kind of the window that I look at my dynasty rosters with. If you're trying to be like, I care so much about 6, 7, 8 years from now, situations change too much. So for me, I'm still willing to pay premium, like pretty much top dollar for Tyreek Hill, because I believe that he will dominate for several more years.
So would you trade the 103?
Oh, that's a great question. So would I trade Jackson Smith and Jigba for Tyreek Hill? I would
trade every pick except for the 101. I tried really hard to get Tyreek Hill this offseason in Dynasty. And he's number three for me in redraft this year. I agree with everything Jason said. If there's any doubt going through anybody's mind, it is a little funny because of our mental perception of, like, Mike Evans feels like he is maybe entering a nursing home at 29.7. Tyreek Hill is 29.1, and I agree that he's got everything left in the tank. I think he's going to be dominant. But they're not that far apart age-wise.
No, they're not. And
so that might speak to Mike Evans having more value for a couple of years where...
Mike Evans was still 14.6 yards per catch.
If I could get Mike Evans to go be a flex or a wide receiver two on a dynasty team on the cheap because people want to cash in on the, you know, the age and go get younger. I mean, would you rather have Brandon Ayuk or Mike Evans if on a contending team?
Ooh.
Ayuk. Yeah, I think they're going to be near enough to each other this year where I'll still take the age.
Okay. The player I'm going to bring up is it's very intentional. It's Terry McLaurin.
Oh, I traded him too.
because fundamentally, Terry McLaurin is a very good player.
He's great.
And he's under contract for three more years. He had the ninth most receiving yards last year, the fourth most deep targets. And I know we're going to spend a lot of this offseason talking about Jahan Dotson because I think he's a very good player that's going to get a lot of attention. I think he's a breakout candidate. And here's Terry McLaurin, who has gone on the roller coaster ride of quarterbacks that I talked about earlier. Here comes Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett. Last year is Taylor Heineke and what, Carson Wentz? You know, we've been through the game with Terry McLaurin. And it's not a very fun one because it's unpredictable. But every year we have these weeks where you come on and reflect on the week. I'm like, oh, yeah, Terry McLaurin was doing Terry McLaurin stuff this week. He's a really, really good wide receiver, and I don't think he's probably valued the way that he should be because the situation is not very fun. McLaurin he's not broken out into being a kind of like a foundational roster piece.
Yeah, he feels
which
like-
people thought he would.
Yeah, and I think that's the quarterback problem. He's just kind of been stuck at, and by stuck, I mean, he's still, you know, the last 3 years, over 1,000, over 1,100, two of those 3 years. But for Terry McLaurin, it's touchdowns. I mean, five this past year, five before that, four. His rookie year, he had seven. That was the, and he had, you know, Alex Smith, I believe, for, wait. Who did he have? Was it Alex Smith? Kyle, am I remember that right? Yeah. So we had Alex Smith for some of that at least. So he's a fantastic player, but he will continue to be limited by his quarterbacks.
Yeah. So I mean, you're going to have probably a lot of Jahan Dotson excitement and not a lot of Terry McLaurin excitement. So
what would you trade for Terry? Would you go late first round pick?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. If I could take like a 108, we were just talking about how to me that is, I mean, if anyone would fall hook, line, and sinker for that, I would do it without thinking.
Would you do it for a first and a second this year?
Yeah, this year I would. I you know, if it's a late first.
Right.
If it's a late first and add a second to get a known commodity that, look, the quarterback situation isn't better. It's going to be the same that he's experienced, but like you said, 1,100 yards, two of the last 3 years, over 1,000 all 3 years, very consistent. He was the wide receiver 14 this past year, and when I finished some of my stats with, you know, obviously this is some on the Commanders and some on the Cowboys, but I was kind of shocked to see that he was ahead of CeeDee Lamb in my
Terry
rankings for this season, yes. The way that I've got the
what
I know that's
what
look, that's one of the it surprised me. The reason I'm bringing this up is I wasn't trying to have that happen.
Wow.
But I think that the market share for this Commanders team is going to be when I went back and I looked at the games that Dotson played in healthy and looked at the tendencies of Sam Howell,
that would be a top three steamiest take in the history of the show if that's where they end up. That may be number one.
There you go. I'm not saying it's going to be beloved
Mike,
by everyone.
Are your pants, did they fly off when
I
said that?
If I ranked that way and my statistics came out, and look, these things happen, but I would take my computer, I would smash it to pieces, I would never tell anyone what just happened. And I would start over.
Yeah. No, I get it. But I do think that the
I've
Commanders...
I've got McLaurin at 22 right now.
With the way that the target market share is going to break down for certain players, J.D. McKissic being gone, I don't think Curtis Samuel is going to be as involved as he was last year. If you look at the games where Dotson was healthy and you look at how the target market share broke down, I think it's going to be really heavy on McLaurin and Dotson. Those two guys
sure.
are going to get... probably, I think, 50% of the targets.
And there's a Mike McCarthy problem in Dallas.
Well, I was going to add, Jason actually projected Dak Prescott for 8 pass attempts this year.
That's right.
Which is what hurt the CeeDee Lamb, because he had 7
when
of them.
When I said he was ahead of CeeDee Lamb, I have Terry McLaurin as my wide receiver 82, and CeeDee Lamb is going to catch half of those passes.
Yeah,
four,
half of the 8
four
attempts.
Passes.
I didn't know we were going to get like some magma on the show today.
I was not ready.
Wow. I'm glad it was you, not me.
I apologize for the insanity of that.
You should apologize to everyone who's in a ravine right now.
Because they careened their cars off.
I'm just having a nice commute to work. Jason, what? And now they're on the side of the road.
Sorry, everyone.
There's a lot of people on the side of the road right now.
I hope you have good insurance.
Yeah, AAA getting some calls. Let's talk some mailbag. Let's do it.
Sure.
Mailbag.
Mailbag Dynasty. Thank you. If you have a question for the show, go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Click the submit a question button or dial the voicemail hotline 302-464-TFFB. We got a voicemail question, Brooksy?
I have a question.
Uh-oh.
I was looking at Jason's rankings.
Oh, man. I feel like we could spend the entire...
Great Scott!
Spend the rest of the show there.
Wow. All right.
Here's a voicemail question.
Hey, ballers. This is Amp from L.A. I have a dynasty question here, and I just wanted to know, when you take over a bad team and you totally didn't make it that way, what do you do? How do you improve it?
Well, you certainly blame the previous manager publicly.
Yes. No, number one, you say, I didn't do this. This is not my fault. But the question is, if you're taking over an orphaned dynasty roster and it's a bad roster, what do you do? The first thing I would say is mentally accept what this team is and what you are going to have to do, like as in time-wise. The amount of time you're going to have to invest of losing seasons to get this thing back into shape. And the quickest way really is you're going to have to look at your blue chip players and you're going to have to go and search inside, because it's trading blue chip players is very, very, very difficult. But it can be done. There's going to be a team out there that has a bunch of picks or maybe some young players that you can trade your superstar for, and just you got to start accumulating picks and accumulating youth, because for you, these old, bland, undervalued players that we just talked about, their value to you is trading. They're not going to help you right now, because if you're years away, Mike Evans, who is going to be 30, he's not going to help you when he's 33. You need to be looking towards the future, and you got to be throwing some haymakers too.
Yeah, and you want a shotgun approach rookie draft. So what you're saying is right. You trade a bunch, whatever veterans you have, you get picks for them. Get as many firsts as humanly possible. Tear your team down to the nubs, because honestly, you want to make sure that you get that 101 or 102.
Right.
You want your team to be bad, because the difference between whether you get that 101 or whether you're mediocre and you're picking at the 5 spot, you need one of those foundational players to build a new lineup on. And if you've got 6, 7, 8 picks, then you can shotgun approach and maybe you hit on 3 of them, and now you've got 3 great young players to build on going forward. So that's usually my approach, is tear it down to the nubs.
It's like baseball rebuilding. If you're an MLB franchise, I mean, you need to stock the farm system and give yourself the highest percentage chance of having some young players come up and emerge, like you said. And honestly, the nicest thing about taking over the orphan team is that you get at least 5 seasons of, at the end of the year, when someone looks at the result, you get to go with the line, these were the cards I was dealt.
Yeah. Let's check. Owl, you've been rebuilding your team for about 4 to 8 years or so. How have you managed to stay rebuilding?
That is not entirely true. I have been very mediocre for 4 to 8 years.
To stay rebuilding?
The actual rebuild just started last year.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
The previous few years were more...
It was middle of the pack every year.
Actually, genuinely, I think...
Pre-building.
First of all, 2 things. One, Mike, excellent. Excellent work there. I mean, that was a great line, and he deserved everything you gave him. But also, I think Owl's team is a great example. He was middle of the pack. He never did the tear it down to the nubs approach, and he just was, you know, outside of the playoffs, but never getting a good enough pick to where he could rebuild. And so last year, you actually did. You had the fire sale, and you got rid of players, and
you
looked for
the... Do you still have DeAndre Swift?
We do.
That's his one...
No, that, I mean, that was... I remember being pretty jealous of DeAndre Swift the last few years on your roster and trying to come after him and feeling like he was kind of the linchpin of your future.
I bet you can get him now.
Well, I'm just thinking back as it's like, man, that outlook changed for somebody like DeAndre Swift that seemed like he could be foundational. And that's just – does that say anything about the rebuilding process? Because you can
– it's not a perfect science at all, but – that's why Jason was saying shotgun approach of there will be hits in the first round of the rookie draft. There will be some big hits, but it's when you just have like one or two, your chance of hit of getting the guy who really breaks out, it's not high. And be excited for 2024, because you have, like, this year we were pumped for Jaxon Smith-Njigba to come into the draft and be the number one wide receiver, but you knew that this wasn't a Ja'Marr Chase level of excitement. You're pumped for him, but you know that the NFL isn't going to take him in the top 10. Next year, we have Marvin Harrison Jr.
Who Cardinals.
He will be a Ja'Marr Chase level of wide receiver. He should end up getting drafted top 10 minimum.
I think he could end up being 2-3 pick. But is there, I guess the reason I brought up Swift wasn't just, I mean, punching Al, always willing.
It's a good time.
But not really the point. The point was, like, there was opportunities on a rebuilding team to trade DeAndre Swift for a couple of years. So it's like you could have accumulated assets when that other younger asset's big. How do you make those calls?
You just try to make the best decision you can at the time, and you'll get some right and you'll get some wrong. It really does go back to the when we say the shotgun approach, it just means – you need more ammunition that some bullets hit. That's all it is. You really need multiple scratchers.
Just see the future.
One of those books from the future.
Instagram question from SpinJohn24, single quarterback league, Treylon Burks or the 107 rookie pick?
Oh, man.
I'll take Treylon Burks. I believe that when he was on the field, which was not enough his rookie year, he was actually pretty good. His targets per route run were pretty good. I liked a lot of what I saw, enough to where I didn't, you know, we talk a lot about when a rookie wide receiver comes out and fails their rookie year, they usually don't just turn it around. That failing doesn't mean bad stats, just necessarily. That's not the end of it. Like, Treylon didn't have a great statistical season, but when he was out there, he passed the eyeball test. He looked good. His numbers were good behind the scene. And the depth chart now is...
I think Tennessee has the worst wide receiver depth chart I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Legitimately, I think it's the worst.
It's...
Because, like you said, Treylon did not prove to a high degree that he could even remotely hold up this entire offense. And then you go Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Kyle Phillips... I mean, the options they have there are devoid of real confidence.
So it's just for the context that we have, our...
Racy McMath.
Oh, what a name.
So good. Our Dynasty League, I got Zay Flowers at the 107. Now, I don't know if Zay Flowers will always be there for people out there, but Zay Flowers or Treylon Burks is...
Yeah, I'll take Zay Flowers that's on the table. So yeah. I guess it's really close.
Whew.
That's tough. Instagram question from Philip Favia. Who is your dynasty RB1?
It's Bijan. Hasn't played a snap of NFL football yet, but his draft capital, talent, situation says we know he's going to have a great rookie year. He's younger than everyone that we know is going to be a relevant back. He's going in the first round of redraft leagues right now. He's usually the third running back taken that I've seen in best ball drafts. So if you're talking about that happening for a this season now, for a 21-year-old running back, there's nobody better.
Mike, what is the list of players that are acceptable one overall picks?
I think that Jonathan Taylor is still, for running back, is still worth being the number one. Breece Hall is in that conversation. And then the hardest one there is Christian McCaffrey, because if you're looking at a three-year window with the situation and the contract that Christian McCaffrey has in San Francisco, he for 3 years, he could be the running back one. Or I won't get super hot takey, but he could be a top five, easily a top five running back each of the next 3 years and be the most valuable guy. But he is, I mean, his time is running out.
Do you think he's worthy of being a 101, Jason?
The 101, no. I would never take him ahead of Bijan, but he is worthy of being in the conversation of how high are you drafting a pretty much 27-year-old running back. Usually it's never. But to Mike's point, if you took the 26-year-old, slightly older, slightly smaller Austin Ekeler 3 years ago,
right,
and just had domination for the last 3 years, you'd be pretty happy, and it was a good move. And I believe that
is... And if you had taken Derrick Henry 3 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you've it's rough. You know, the everything we talk a lot about making bets on the odds of probability, but we've got to have context to it. Christian McCaffrey is an outlier prospect, outlier player, one of the best. What he does with his training and his body is it's not like he was born a really good running back. This guy is a nut job in the best way possible. And you see it on the field, similar to Austin Ekeler. You will look at his workout videos and you know what he does for his body. I think you're darn right Christian McCaffrey is going to have 3 good years, and I will bet on the rare 27-year-old running back in Dynasty to be a good pick right now.
Let me put it one interesting take would be like Kenneth Walker was probably a lock ahead of Christian McCaffrey in Dynasty drafts. And then he wasn't.
Yeah, back.
Jonathan Taylor was probably a lock to be the 101 in everyone's mind for a handful of years, and now he isn't. And so it's tough when you say, like, I have him 1-2. I have Bijan 1-2, or
as
number one as well. So I'm not objecting to the upside there because you get such longevity. But man, things change really quickly. Saquon was in that boat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Saquon is not super old yet. But he's not close to number one in dynasty leagues like he was at one point in time. So I think maybe opening up that window and not locking it in is such a guarantee, like it has to be this guy, and leaving a little subjectivity there is wise. I mean, if you are strongly convicted that it should be, you know, Breece Hall because you've seen it on the NFL field, go with that gut. Do it. Jonathan Taylor, if you think he's going to be himself, he's fine to be that pick. And then obviously Terry McLaurin's in the contention as
right,
well.
Right, right. I mean, do you go Bijan or Terry McLaurin at 101?
That is it for today's show. FootClanGiveaway.com. A signed Justin Jefferson jersey. Oh, man. I can't wait for Twitter. All right. FootClanGiveaway.com. Go get that jersey. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode of the podcast. Since you're still hanging around, I'd like to personally invite you to become a part of our thriving fantasy football community. Get access to exclusive Discord channels, extra episodes, fantasy football tools, resources, and the personal satisfaction of supporting an independent podcast. Learn more at jointhefoot.com.